Caesarea. Caesarea was the headquarters of Roman occupation in Palestine at the time. And what we learned from chapter 3 was that Paul, that's where we left him, was in Jerusalem. And what we learned from chapter 3 at the end there was that Paul had been secreted from Jerusalem to Caesarea under heavily armed Roman escort. Back in chapter 23 in verse 23, and he called unto him two centurions, saying, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70, and spearmen 200, at the third hour of the night. Look down to verse 31. Then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. On the morrow they left the horsemen to go with him and return to the castle, who, when they came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul also before him. And so we find here that Paul now finds himself in Caesarea. In chapter 24, we find that Paul is standing before a man, the governor, and his name is Felix. The beginning of the chapter, we're actually going to be looking at just verses 24 through 27 as our text here tonight. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read this whole chapter, but I'll give you a little, we'll just break it down here so you know what's happening in this chapter. At the beginning of the chapter, chapter 24, verse 1, after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence. So here we find that Tertullus is flattering the governor, trying to get him, you know, on his side, trying to say sweet things in his ear, basically, to soften him up. But Tertullus makes charges against Paul. And he was hired by the Jewish religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, who came to bring accusation against Paul to the Roman government. You get down to verse 10, and we find that Paul has the opportunity to give his defense before the governor, Felix. And we find that he answers this charge of sedition that is against him, saying it's false. And they were accusing him of causing sedition, hoping the Roman government would take it into their hands to bring punishment against Paul. But what they really wanted was for the Roman government to just hand him over so they could kill him. That's what they really wanted. And so we find Paul answering this charge of sedition as being false. We get down to verse 22, and we find here, after Felix has listened to what Paul has to say, giving his defense of the faith, again, we find the words of Felix. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintances to minister or come unto him. By the way, there was a good church in Caesarea at the time, and so these were the ones who administered to Paul. Verse 24, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener, and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I ask that you just bring a calm to this place tonight. Father, that your word would have free course in our heart and our mind. Father, give us understanding of it. And Lord, I pray that you'd encourage us with it, challenge us where we need to be challenged, strengthen us where we need to. And Father, that your word would take root in our heart. Father, I pray that you'd teach us and change us according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight we're going to talk about the power of a few words. The power of a few words. Did you know, and I'm sure you do, that words possess great power? Sometimes we forget that, how powerful our words can be. The truth of the matter is that wars have been waged because of a few words. Peace can be brokered, certainly, because of a few words, but people's hopes and dreams are bolstered or dashed because of a few words. Marriages are crushed often because of a few words. Families are broken apart because of a few words. There's power in the words that we speak, and whether we see it or not, or want to believe it or not, words hold hold tremendous power over our daily living. The Bible actually is full of statements regarding words and their power. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 2 says, "Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth." The potential is huge for good or evil from the words that we speak. Ecclesiastes 5:3 says, "For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words." It can be the discerner or the identifier of whether we're not or we are foolish or whether we're wise by words that we use. Matthew 12:36, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." John chapter 12, verse 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." And we could go on giving examples, citing examples that from the Scriptures regarding statements of regarding our words and the power of them. So, I mean, as you can see, words are extremely important. And our text here tonight speaks of a man who experienced firsthand the power of words, and a few words. Felix, we see in our text here, who Roman governor of Caesarea, is listening to the Apostle Paul preach the Word of God concerning the Christian faith. And as Paul preaches in verse 24, we find that it causes Felix to be moved. Verse 25 says that he trembled from the words that he heard. And tonight I want us to just take a look at this scene here a little bit more in depth. As Paul preaches to Felix in the palace there in Caesarea, and the words that Paul used then were full of meaning. But those same words are still full of meaning today. And I want us to notice the reasons why these words were so powerful in Felix's life. And I want us to consider tonight how even a few words spoken for the Lord, even in trying circumstances, may be the seeds that'll sprout further opportunities for Christ. And that's the direction that we're going tonight. First of all, again, I want us to read these verses, and we're going to focus mostly on verse 24 and verse 25, primarily verse 25. We're talking about the power of a few words. First of all, we see that some of these words that were spoken to Felix by the Apostle Paul were words that confronted Felix. Notice here that the Bible tells us that Paul reasoned with Felix and Drusilla, verse 24, "After certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" These words, some of these words that Paul spoke, were words that confronted Felix. He reasoned with him, with Felix and Drusilla. The word "reason" here is a Greek word that means to say thoroughly. It means to discuss. Ultimately, it means to preach. So in other words, we get the picture here that Paul is standing before Felix and Drusilla, and he is preaching. He reasoned with him. He's preaching. Paul used this time that he stood before this governor to declare unto him the truth of the gospel. He wasn't begging for his freedom or for his life. He was preaching the gospel with the time that he had. In fact, it seems that that's actually the reason why Felix called him. Verse 24 says that he called for Paul or sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. It gives the impression that that was the reason they were actually talking. As Paul preached, though, there are two areas of his sermon that served as a direct confrontation to the life of Felix. Have you ever wondered why these words are used here? I mean, we could read over these words and really miss what's actually happening here. We could just simply gloss over these words in verse 25. He reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Without actually, have you ever wondered why those words are used and what was behind it? What did Paul actually say as he preached of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come? Well, there are two areas in Paul's preaching here that served as direct confrontation to the life of Felix. The Bible says that Paul preached about righteousness. He reasoned or preached about righteousness. That word, righteousness, there is a word that means, listen, equity of character, specifically justification. And it refers to the state of being right, which the only person who is right is God. All right? And it literally speaks of a state of moral and spiritual purity. Here's what Paul is preaching about to Felix, of righteousness, a state of moral and spiritual purity. Now listen, if Paul is preaching of righteousness, then Paul has to be preaching about the righteousness of God. Because who is righteous other than God? In fact, Ezra chapter 9 and verse 15 says, O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous. Psalm 50 and verse 6, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. 1 John 1 and verse 5, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Paul is preaching to Felix of righteousness, moral and spiritual purity. And if he's preaching of that, he has to be speaking or preaching of God's righteousness. Listen, we need to have the right understanding of God. And especially when it comes to being a soul winner. I'll make these applications in just a second here. But the world's idea of God is that he's the old man upstairs. You know, it's raining, it's pouring, the old man is snoring. He went to bed, bumped his head, and couldn't get up in the morning. He's the head cheese. He's the big cheese. He's the old man upstairs. God is not the old man upstairs. He's holy. He's righteous. He's Almighty God. And he is so holy and so righteous that he can't even look upon sin. Man can't come into the presence of God in his flesh. We're altogether sinful. And we can't come in his presence on our own goodness or our own merit. Because God is righteous. He's always right. And listen, this is what people need to hear today. If Paul is preaching of righteousness, he's preaching of the righteousness of God. But also, this includes, listen, if he's preaching of righteousness, then he's also preaching about the fact that this righteous God hates sin. Romans 1 and verse 18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Listen, God is holy, man is unholy. God is pure, man is impure. God is sinless, man is sinful. God is righteous, man is unrighteous. And I think that this is what Paul is pointing out to Felix as he stands before him and preaches of him concerning righteousness. He's pointing out the truth that man is sinful and he stands condemned in the eyes of a righteous God. Here's the bottom line though. Felix is brought face to face with the fact that he is a lost sinner and he's the one who needs a Savior. And I think Felix was made painfully aware of the fact that no man is righteous in God's eyes, and no man has any kind of righteousness enough to stand before the presence of a holy and righteous God. Now here's a little history regarding Felix. I think these words of Paul, and like I said, we could gloss over, he reasoned or preached of righteousness. We could gloss over that if we didn't have an understanding of maybe some things about Felix. I think these words of Paul, however he preached to him concerning this righteousness, they probably pierced Felix's heart, because Felix was anything but righteous. In fact, he was noted in his day for excessively sinful living. And listen, that's saying a lot in Roman culture, isn't it? He was known for excessive sinful living. He engaged, this is what history tells us, he engaged in drunken orgies all the time. He maintained his power through brutality and murder. History says that Felix was a very wicked man. This message, preaching of righteousness, is the same message that people need to hear today. That God is holy and man is sinful. Maybe even tonight these words are speaking to somebody's heart. I don't know. But I think if we're talking about this subject, I would be remiss if I didn't make that application tonight. None of us will ever get to heaven unless we possess Christ's righteousness. Amen? How do we get Christ's righteousness? Only through faith in Him. But let me make this application here. It's important to keep in mind, listen, when we are witnessing, when we're attempting to be a witness for Christ, it's important to keep in mind that a person will not seek to be saved unless they first perceive that they're lost. What do I need to be saved from? You know? You see too much of this easy believism, in Christianity today. And even what is called cultural Christianity. We go about our business, we do our thing, we cross our T's, dot our I's, we do all of these things, and it's lifestyle evangelism, right? That people live by. Or repentance and sin is never spoken of. God is love, and God wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, and all of those things. Oh, you need to accept Jesus into your heart. But why? A person's not going to seek to be saved until they first perceive that they're lost. That I need to be saved because I'm condemned. Are you with me? You say, well, I already know that, Pastor. Well, good. Are you applying it? That's the reason that we have, that God gave us the law to show us our sinfulness, to show us that we could never measure up to a holy God. And it's important to note here, when we make applications for ourselves, that the very first thing that the Apostle Paul did was to declare to this man God's holy standard that he could never meet. Why? Because it would show him that he's missed the mark. That's important when we're talking to people and we're getting into people's lives. You know what? People don't need us to sugarcoat truth. People don't need us to soften the message. What people need is to hear that they're condemned before God. God has a standard of holiness that man can never obtain. That's what people need to hear. And Paul preached concerning righteousness. We also see in verse 25, he reasoned of righteousness and temperance. Temperance. He preached about temperance. Why temperance? What is that? Well, the word refers to, yeah, you're right on track. The word refers to self-control. And when Paul preached about righteousness, he was dealing with Felix's own character or his nature. He was talking about who he was before God. But when he talks about temperance, he's talking about Felix's conduct, or his way of living before men. And when Paul begins to speak of self-control, man, he hits Felix and Drusilla right between the eyes. Just as Felix was lacking in the righteousness department, oh, he was severely lacking in the self-control department too. History tells us that Felix was married 3 times. He lived a life, like I said before, of constant drunkenness and orgies and parties. History tells us that Felix was always deep in debt, and he was also in perpetual trouble with Nero, the emperor. That's probably not a good thing. If you're in trouble with a guy named Nero, you really got some bad things going on for you. But the text also refers to his wife Drusilla. She was no, quote, saint either. She was his third wife, all right? She was also married prior to this. When she was 14 years old, she actually was the youngest daughter of King Agrippa I, the same king that didn't give God the glory and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost, that same Agrippa. Drusilla was his youngest daughter. At 14 years old, she was married to the king of Emesa, that's what it was. When she was 16 years old, Felix saw her, and Felix hired a sorcerer to seduce her and lure her into an adulterous relationship with him, which she did. And then they ultimately got married, and the two of them together lived an open life of debauchery and sin. This is what history tells us. They lived openly and wickedly in that Roman culture. Paul's words to them must have stung them very sharply and deeply. He's talking and preaching about temperance, their conduct, their way of living. And maybe Paul even called out their sin because of the fact that everybody knew they were guilty of it anyway. But when Paul addressed Felix, he was speaking to a man who had lost his dignity, a man who had lost his morality and his decency. When he addressed Drusilla, she was a woman who had lost her decency, her modesty, her purity. He was speaking to two people who were morally bankrupt, as all men are. But here he stands and speaks of temperance. He's preaching of self-control. He's preaching of conduct. And here, listen, let me make the application. One of the tragedies in our culture, in our society today, is that few people are confronted by the Word of God concerning their lifestyle and their sin. The message needs to be softened because, you know, if we're too clear, or if we speak the Word of God in truth and we talk about what sin is, you know, it's going to drive people away. So we need to soften the message to attract them and to lure them in. That has led to a complete lack of preaching on sin, regarding sin in our culture. A lot of people flee from using the Word of God because it's so confrontational. However, when the Word of God comes in, it also brings with it conviction of soul. And conviction is the first step to truly being saved. Why is it that people don't want to hear that or reject it? It's because there's conviction in their heart. Their lifestyle is condemned so often. Society tries to sanitize sin to make people feel better about what they're doing. And that has crept its way into, quote, Christianity as well. You know, lying has become a credibility gap. Their credibility is suspect now because they've been lying. Adultery has become an affair and not adultery. Sodomy has become an alternative lifestyle. And the murderous practice of abortion has become a woman's right to choose. Come on now. Fornication, it's become something that everybody does, and so it's normal. It's accepted, even in Christian churches. But God still has one word that sums it all up. Amen? It's sin. And it needs to be addressed as sin. And that's what Paul confronted Felix and Drusilla with. He preached of God's righteousness. He preached of temperance, self-control, which they had none, condemning their lifestyle. Hey, it's true that it's a common and a normal thing for a guy and a girl to shack up, you know, to live with each other before they're married. Well, we're just trying it out. We're going to see if we're compatible. And yet they live the same way a married couple lives. That happens frequently in our culture. And I wonder how many people are willing to confront that kind of living with the truth of God's word. God calls it fornication. And God calls it sin. And sin brings death. And there's judgment coming because of our sin. The way that you're living, my friend, is contrary to the word of God, to the truth of God, and God calls it sin. People need to be confronted with their lifestyle. And this is what Paul did. He confronted Felix and Drusilla with this. When the Bible says he preached of temperance, this is what he's talking about. We find that some of these words that Paul used confronted him, but then we find that some of these words concerned Felix. Verse 25 says that Paul preached of judgment to come, and Felix trembled. We're told here that Paul preached to them about judgment to come. He talks about God's righteousness. He talks about their own sin and their own conduct. And then he says, look, there's judgment coming. He told Felix and Drusilla that there was coming a day when they would face this righteous God, this sin-hating God, in judgment if they didn't repent. That's what it means when he says he preached of judgment to come. I would imagine that contained in that word, those words, preaching of judgment to come, it included a whole lot of things. I would imagine that Paul told Felix and Drusilla that there are wages for sin. A wage is something you earn for your sin. It's what you deserve for your sin. That wage is death. Death is separation. Separation from God. Death, the final death, is separation from God eternally in the lake of fire. I'm sure that Paul told that to Felix. Judgment's coming. He probably told Felix about the fires of hell being unquenchable. He probably told Felix about, in God's judgment, eternity in hell, there's memory, there's remorse. Remember in Luke chapter 16, the rich man who was in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He remembered. Remember Abraham said, remember? He said, son, remember in thy lifetime. There's going to be remorse. He probably told him about not only the fire being unquenchable, but also an unsatisfied, unquenchable thirst, misery and pain, frustration, anger. All of these things the Bible talks about regarding the judgment of God and hell. He talked to him about eternal separation. And no doubt, Paul preached to Felix about God's wrath, undiluted wrath, in a place called hell. The lake of fire. Listen, in the lake of fire, which is the second death, God's fury is going to be unleashed on sin. Judgment to come. I would imagine Paul told Felix about the great white throne judgment of Revelation chapter 20. No doubt but that he told him about a day when all sinners stand before this holy and this righteous God to be judged for their sins, to be cast forever into the lake of fire. He didn't water it down, I'm sure. But whatever it was that Paul said to him concerning judgment to come, it made Felix tremble. The word tremble there in verse 25 means to be thrown into fear. It means to become terrified. And I wonder why Felix was sitting there listening to this preaching, and he was terrified and filled with fear. And I wonder if Felix understood this truth for the very first time, that he was a lost sinner and he was abiding under the wrath of this holy God. I wonder if he finally came to see the fact that he was in serious trouble with God. Felix was under real conviction. That's what this was. Real conviction. Let me make a few applications here. When it comes to soul winning, we need to tell sinners that without Christ, listen, there is a fearful, certain, eternal judgment that is coming. That is part of the message that cannot be left out. That God judges sin. That God is not happy with sin. In fact, he's angry with the wicked and sinners every day. We can't soften the message to lure people in. You know what? The message is going to be offensive to some. They don't want to hear it. There are people who, no doubt, visited this church and decided they were never coming back after that wacky preacher standing up there hollering, preaching on judgment and hell and all of those things. What do people need to hear? They need to hear the truth. That there is certain and fearful judgment is coming. We can't soften it to lure people in. This message that Paul preached to Felix brought conviction, and it caused Felix to tremble. Now, was it Paul's words? Was it his dynamic speaking? No, it was the truth of God's word, empowered by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, that brought conviction to Felix's heart. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God to sinners to produce, through the preaching of the Word of God, conviction of sin and righteousness and judgment. And here's another vital soul-winning lesson. You have people that you know, that you love, that you're trying to witness to, so do I. We always need to rely on the Holy Spirit to bring conviction of sin. We can't do the job of the Holy Spirit. We can't manipulate or bring conviction. It's got to be the Spirit of God through the Word of God. We have to rely on Him to bring that conviction and show people their need of a Savior by using the Word of God and the truth of God rather, listen, than human reason or logic or argument. So often that's the case. When people want to be a witness, they start to use logic and reason and man's thinking rather than just simply preaching the Word of God. The Word of God contains the power of God. Amen? This is what caused Felix to tremble. And again, if we didn't make this application tonight, I think I would be failing. Let me ask you this question, friend. How does it make you feel when you hear about righteousness and temperance and judgment to come? Does it cause you to tremble in the presence of God? I don't know. You may sit here tonight fully aware of the fact that you're lost and headed for hell. If so, you need to heed the same message that Paul gave to Felix. There is judgment to come. And it should cause you to tremble. We also see, lastly, that some of these words, not only did they confront Felix, not only did, I forgot my second point, not only did they concern Felix, but some of these words also condemned Felix. Look at verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." As Felix was being convicted of his sin by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, and he trembled with conviction, he made a terrible, terrible decision. He sent Paul away. And he said, when I have a convenient time, I'll call for you again. If we look at history, history tells us about this man named Felix. And it doesn't appear that either him or his wife ever came to that convenient season. 2 years after this event here, the Bible says that, look in verse 27, but after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Felix was vacating that spot, that governorship. And Festus came in. What history tells us is that Felix was called back to Rome to face Nero for his brutality and his harsh ways. History says that Felix was discredited. He was removed from power. And because of his shame and his loss of position, history says that he probably ended his life by his own hand. There's no indication that he ever came to faith in Jesus Christ. Drusilla, she died in 79 AD, according to history anyway, when Mount Vesuvius erupted and buried the city of Pompeii. It appears that she died lost in her sin too. What a tragedy. What opportunity in the face of truth. Listen, it was the words of God that convicted Felix, but it was his own words that condemned Felix. He died lost because he chose to. Go thy way. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. People need to hear of God's righteousness. People need to hear of their own sin and condemnation. That's the first thing that they need to hear. Because people aren't going to seek to be saved until they have seen that they're lost. But let me close with this application. It may be that your heart tonight has been convicted by the Word of God. If so, listen, my friend, it's up to you to say yes or say no to God's call. God's words can confront you. God's words may concern you. But in the end, it'll be your own words that condemn you if you reject Christ. The truth of the matter is where people end up spending eternity is ultimately up to them. There is no more convenient time than right now. And so we have these two applications. You may be here tonight, you're not saved. You need to do business with God. The other application is for the saints of God. When it comes to dealing with people, we need to give them straight truth from God's word concerning His righteousness, His holiness, and their sinfulness. This is the reason why repentance is not preached in so many churches these days. It's all about just accepting Jesus, accepting Jesus, accepting Jesus. And no issue of repentance. Repentance toward God, that our sin has offended a holy and a righteous God. Don't fail to speak truth. No matter how you may feel someone's going to receive it, being led by the Spirit of God certainly is the key. But what they need is not reason, not logic, not argument about creation versus evolution. Sometimes those are good tools that you need to utilize. But what they need is to understand that there is a righteous God. Number two, that we're sinful people who are condemned. Right? Let this be an encouragement. Don't soften the message. Speak truth. Paul stood before Felix, a governor, a ruler, and he preached concerning God's righteousness and Felix's sinfulness. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray that you give us boldness to speak the truth and speak it in love. And Father, there are all kinds of tools that we can utilize, and sometimes people are at different starting points. We realize this. But ultimately, it's not human reason or logic that brings conviction. It's the Word of God and the truth of God, that God is holy, He is righteous, we are sinful. And His judgment is coming for those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. So Father, I ask that you just give us boldness to stand up and speak truth. to not beat around the bush or water it down, but Father, to be bold, empowered by the Spirit of God, to be a witness for Christ, and then rely on the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God to bring that conviction of sin. Bless your people, Father, and I know that there are many, many in this room tonight who are concerned about their co-workers and their family, and they regularly try to be a witness for you, and praise the Lord. We thank you for those opportunities. I just ask that you'd equip us and strengthen us, and Father, give us more boldness and more people that we can speak the Word of God to. Thank you for giving us a place to serve you. Father, thank you for our own salvation in Christ. And Father, I pray that you'd equip us to be faithful witnesses for you. In Jesus' name, amen.